Dialogues, a show that features narratives from everyday people and their journey towards learning a language. I'm your host, Milo Falcone. Hi, and welcome back to Catnap Dialogues. I know it's been a while since you last heard from me, but that's because the holidays. We all know how that goes, right? I hope you are all well and staying safe and taking all the necessary precautions you need in order to avoid getting sick. It's been quite the year, 2021, but nonetheless, I have an awesome episode coming up for you guys. Today, I have Anne-Marie from Haiti. With greetings out of the way, let's get this interview started.
Okay, my name is Anne-Marie Desrosiers. That's my husband's name. I was born Anne-Marie Warfare. That's my middle name. And I was born in Port-au-Prince, Haiti. And I came here in my late 20s. I studied medicine in Haiti, and I came here to continue. So coming here, I had to study to pass the, what we call at that time, the ECFMG, which is the exam for the Educational Commission for Foreign Medical Graduate. You do have to pass that exam, be able to start the training here in the US. And after I passed my exam, then I had to apply until, it's not like here now, you can apply by online and things, and I had to apply by sending letters. And it took me a while. In the meantime, I tried to find other things to do to keep myself busy, because it takes a while before, because so many people are applying. What you're calling a residency program, which I did at Harlem Hospital. And after that, I moved to, I have to say, while I was there, I met my husband Henry, and we got married. And I had my first daughter, then the second one, then Sophia. Sophia is the second one. That was it. We moved to Connecticut when I did a fellowship. And later on, I came back to New York, so right in Brooklyn, New York, because when I just came here, I was in Queens. And in Brooklyn, New York, we've been living there for over 20 years. And we've been right there in New York since then. Worked in a hospital until 2016 when I retired. And now I have my hobbies, my family, so and the house, that's what keeps me busy. And I'm also helping at the Catholic school, the St. Matthew Woman Catholic School, where I'm teaching the kids and helping them to prepare for their first Holy Communion. I've been doing that for maybe 20 years by now, approximately.
Now, I also wanted to ask Anne-Marie how she felt about the question, where are you from? And this is what she had to say.
Somebody asked me where I'm from. I will say I'm originally from Haiti. Then sometimes they will say, no, where do you come from now? I said, oh, from New York.
Earlier, our guest had mentioned that she was a doctor, and I wanted to know what kind.
I did pathology. That's okay. This is, the person who will look at the tissues. People will do the autopsy and these things. Somebody has to do it, right? Someone has to do it, right? This is that area. You can pick one area. I was mainly, at the beginning, I did all this, but at the end, I was mainly in the laboratory. What I did for the last 20 years was mainly in the laboratory, like taking care of people who need to be transfused. So we are in charge of the blood bank, which we're also calling transfusion medicine, which is like, this is what you oversee, what people need to be transfused, what they need, the right blood to give to people, or to because actually in that part of the lab, this is when you're treating people also. In that field, we're not in the room with the patient. You're in the laboratory sending things to the patient, what is needed for the patient.
Now, Anne-Marie had also mentioned that her husband is a nurse practitioner, so she proceeds to explain what he does.
A nurse practitioner is somebody who did nursing, and later on they go to a master's, so they go to the level where they can also see patients as a physician. They're not doing every single thing the physician do, like they don't perform surgery and things like that, but they do a lot of other things. They perform sometimes small problems, like I had a cut once, I went to the hospital, the nurse practitioner did the stitching and things like that. So I don't know what else they do regarding surgery, I don't know exactly their entire description, but they work at a higher level than the nurses. It's a master's degree.
Now, of course, I also needed to know how many years had Anne-Marie and or her family had lived in the United States?
myself up. He must be 82, almost 40 years. I spent most of my life here. That's why I usually tell people from Haiti, like, you know, if sometimes they will find weird that I do not know certain things going on in Haiti, and or I don't remember, I said that I spent most of my life here. No, especially when you come here young, so that becomes your place, you know. The younger you start here, the more disconnected you become with the country that you left. Just like my husband, because he came here as a teenager. So he finished school there, he went to high school here. But when I met him, he wasn't that connected. But now he became more connected since we had the earthquake in Haiti. So he went there, so now I'm telling him now he's more Haitian.
Now, I also wanted to know, how many languages does she speak?
Actually, I speak the first thing we really comfortable with Haiti, we speak Creole, French, and English. And I learned some little Spanish. But I speak Creole in French and English.
Now, where did Anne-Marie learn English?
Mainly here. Back home, we do a little bit of English in class. But I believe it's probably the same thing like they do here when kids are doing French in class. It's limited, it's not really. But when I arrived here, I could not hear English that much. I could probably read it and understand certain things, but I could not really understand when people were speaking. I mainly learn English here, to hear and talk. But I had to take the TOEFL also, because once you pass the medical exam. At that time, they were giving an English test also. They give you an English test and then the medical exam. But most of us were failing the English test because I could not hear anything they were, because there is a part where they talk and you answer questions. I had no clue what they were talking about. But you had a choice also to take what they're calling the TOEFL. And once you take that, you will send it to the commission, and because you have to pass the English also for them to give you the certificate. So after you pass the medical, then you go take the TOEFL. So I was more concentrating on the medical. So after I passed the medical, then I started to study for the TOEFL. And for the TOEFL, it's not as hard, because at that time you concentrate on it. And I was going to Kaplan. I didn't take the TOEFL immediately. When you pass it and they have to send it, but it's not a pass or fail, it's a grade. At that time, now they don't ask for it anymore, but you had to have a certain grade that they would have. Because the medical English was kind of different. It's easier to understand because you're not taking it orally or verbally. You just have to answer a question. So medically, it's easier. The English is easier. You can answer the question. The term are almost the same. It's easier. But it was the spoken English. That's what it was. But I live with family, and they are the good thing also. They are young children. They really help you with the English. I wasn't shy learning English neither. If I don't know, I will ask. How do I say this? Before I go talk about something, I ask. And to also differentiate some words, because some words in French are almost the same. It's only the pronunciation that changes. And every time I will ask somebody, how do I say that in English? They will tell me, that's the same word. And I was so happy. Every time that happened, I was so excited, because I knew that a lot of those words were coming from French also.
Now, given the conversation, we can deduct that Anne-Marie basically adapted her English, or rather, her medical English. Now, I also wanted to know how the educational system in terms of language worked or works in Haiti. And this is what Anne-Marie had to say.
Only language was only French. The classes were done in French, because now I understand. I was talking to my nephew, who was much younger. They were telling me they teach Creole also. But when I was growing up in Haiti at that time, there was no teaching of Creole in school. You could not even speak Creole in the school. You still will speak Creole, but according to talking to the teacher, you could not speak Creole to the teacher. Everybody had to speak French. And the classes were done in French, and homeworks and everything was done in French. And it's only when you get to what we're calling secondary, Claire. What we're calling secondary is almost like high school. And this is when you do some English and it's all good. At that time when I was in Haiti, we also had a Latin class. And because it's like the basic of the French language, but I had the chance to learn some Greek also. Yeah, I had a class. We had that class. You see, you can see how old I am. I remember the alphabet, the Greek alphabet and these things. Yeah. So we did some, because a lot of medical word also from the Greek. Yeah. I mean, like from the Greek. Yeah. The main problem I had was medically with the language. What was happening is that, I give you an example. Can I give you an example?
Yes.
Your lung, L-U-N-G, your lung. In French, you say poumon, which is P-O-U-M-O-N, which is poumon. And in English, you say lung. But when you have to use the adjective for lung, you say pulmonary. And that's the same thing you use in French, which is not related to lung at all. So the problem I was having in the beginning was like, I know medically when they tell me pulmonary, they're talking about poumon. So that was a problem in the beginning, because the word you're using is not the same. And I was always wondering, why is it so complicated? So that's what used to make the medical English a little bit easier. Because like I told you, whenever you say pulmonary, we know you're talking about poumon, but not lung. So that was a little vocabulary problem sometimes you will have in the medical. And it goes for a lot of things also, like your kidney. You say kidney, but in French you say rein for kidney. And when you get to the adjective in English, you say renal. So that make it easier for you in French, but kidney, you have to make sure you remember the way they say rein is kidney. So that was the thing, the word is not, and in French, most of the adjective is also always related to the word. Most, I can say almost always. But in English, it's totally different. You're saying renal, but you're calling the organ kidney. You're not calling it rein. So this was sometimes creating a little bit of confusion.
Now, something really interesting that Anne-Marie mentions is that when she was growing up in Haiti, she didn't really learn how to read Creole. And here's a little bit about that experience.
When I was growing up, we didn't have anything written in Creole. We were not, that's the reason now, it will take me a while to read Creole. I don't read it, but I can speak it fluently, I understand it fluently, but I'm not good at reading it because I'm not used to it. Place where they were helping people who been keep people to send them back to their country.
Deportation,
yes. So I was helping there because there were a lot of Haitians, so they needed somebody who can speak Creole and English. And then, so when I was talking to some of those Haitians, sometimes one of those people, they needed me to translate something for them in Creole. And I said, I cannot promise you I can translate. I can translate from you from Creole to English, I can try, because I'm not used to the vocabulary that they're using, not only the vocabulary, the autograph. Also they're using in Creole. That I'm not used to because I never had to.
Now here comes one of my main questions. I had to ask Anne-Marie if she had ever felt different or made to feel different because of the way she spoke English. And this is what she had to say.
Yes, people, yes. A lot of people will ask you, most of the time they will ask you, what language do you speak? Some people will do it, did it in a positive, in a friendly manner, in a way. Like some people will say, oh, I like your accent. Where are you from? That will be what I call a positive. But some people will not make the effort at all in the beginning. You know, I noticed that some people will not make the effort at all. They will kind of try to find somebody who can understand what you say. One thing that I always use myself, because I never wanted to feel that, to feel bad about not being able to pronounce certain things properly, because whenever somebody will make me feel like, you know, like, oh, it's not pronouncing, but I said descent. That's my third language. If you're speaking only one language, you know, because somebody did something like that to me, not even too long ago. I was talking to that person and that person goes, but I knew where she was coming from, but I just pretend I did not understand. What I mean, I pretend I did not understand, because she's saying, when you speak to your family, what do you speak? I said, depends which family I'm talking to. I have some family who speak English only, like my children. Sometimes they like Sophia, Valerie, they understand a little bit of Creole. But if I'm having a serious conversation with them, it has to be in English so that we can both catch everything. But that person, I think where she was coming from, she said, and when you speak to your sister-in-law, what do you speak? I said, depends, because she's been there for a long time. And also because that person only speak English. That person is American born and only speak English. So I said, listen, you probably never had to be around people from different places who've been there for a long time and speak different languages. When we family here in New York, we Haitian, we speak French, Creole, English. Sometime in the conversation, we mix the words because it seems like you are talking differently when I just met you. So that's why I said I have a feeling where that person was coming from. Maybe she didn't realize maybe I had too much a French accent or too much an English, a Creole accent. So this, I told her, I said, because probably that was the first time you are around somebody who's speaking three languages. You cannot use that against me, like, you know, your accent is different now than when I just met you. What that has to do with it? This happened recently when that person was asking me, you know, because when I just met you, it sounded like your accent was different. I said, I don't think it was different. My accent is not going to be different than it was when you just met me. I said, it's because that's the first time you probably talking to somebody who's speaking three different languages.
Now, this sparked another question. You know, Anne-Marie is a medical professional, so I was wondering if she had clients, or patients rather, complain about the way she spoke.
No, when I were in the beginning in medicine, people will ask me, you know what I'm saying? But like, you know, like talking about like, you know, your accent is kind of different, that was recently. But because you will always meet people with, because that, like I told you, that person told me the first time I met you, it didn't sound different than now. But when I was just practicing medicine, you will have to ask and I had a lot of help from the director of the program when I was, because he's Mexican. And I remember he told me something that he was telling all of us. Like when you go into teach, because he will have a nice conversation with you before you go. He said, remember, you have an accent, you speak a different language. So you're talking to all of us, because him also. He said, write a lot of the words you say. So like that, people would enter up the class asking you, what did you say? What did you mean? So he said, mainly the words like, you know, medical word that you're not pronouncing like it. He said, always writing some words. So before they ask you, like if you have to say a word, you write it there. They pay more attention to you and they're willing to go with what you say. So that was one thing I learned, that to help me with my with the accent when they would not understand it. So people said, what did you say?
Now, earlier on, Anne-Marie had talked about a language preference with her children, but she wanted to expand on it a little bit more.
Most of the time we speak Creole. With my children, it's mainly English. And if I have a child growing up in the house, I want the child to be able to call 911 if there is a problem. I'm not going to make sure that child is speaking a Creole or French. And I learned that from one of my attending when I was having my baby. She said, I'm going to give you one advice. She's Indian. When she came here, she had a first daughter. She made them speak both languages. The first daughter learned without any problems. She said the second one refused to talk. She said the second one won't say a word. She had to take her to the doctor, to psychologist, to language, into. She said the child will not talk. She said until it wasn't really a doctor, I think one of the language or whatever it is. She said the person asked her, what do they speak in the house? And this is when she explained that we're speaking our language because we want her to learn our language. And then they speak the other in the TV and this thing. They said, don't confuse her, stay with one language. She said, she told me she was a doctor. She said she had to take a year off to stay home with the child. And later on, the child did fine with speaking English only. So this is, she said, I'm giving you that advice. Don't let people tell you what your child should speak. Because not every child responds the same way to that.
So true. Because this is what happened to me. I'm the third child. And we were growing up, again, in Ottawa. It's already a bilingual province in Canada. We speak French and English. You go to school, English one day, French the other. And when I went home, my mom was trying to teach me Spanish. So my brain was already divided in two. But not all children, you're right, not all children want to learn the other language, because in my case, I was already overwhelmed with English and French as a child, right? And then going home and then my mom trying to communicate in Spanish, my brain just couldn't do it. Yes. There are countries where it's more common and it's normalized. Like, you know, India, for instance, I know that people on average can speak 4 or 5 languages. That's what happened to me. I didn't speak a word of anything until I was 5. And they really thought I was either, you know, slow or autistic. But what it was, now down the road, we know is that my brain was absorbing all those languages.
Now, to wrap up the conversation, I wanted to ask Anne-Marie if she had any fun facts that she wanted to share about Haiti, or maybe anything that she loves about Haiti. And this is what she had to say.
My only regret is that it's not a place I can go now because of the way it is now. It's so scary. Even when my husband goes there, I'm kind of worried, concerned about him, because of the kidnapping and things. But there are so many beautiful things in Haiti that I would love to be part of. I used to go a long time ago. I used to go every year, many, many years ago when my parents were still alive, you know. You know, the food, the family, the people, you know. And one thing I really, really, really miss in Haiti, I used to love, is the river. River in Haiti is not like here. It's not like a big place. The water is clear and you can see the rock on the bottom of the water. Oh, that I wish I could be there. It's not like, because here when I heard river, no, river looked like the sea to me. But the river in Haiti is clear water and you can see the rock. Sometimes you see fish. It's beautiful. That's one thing I really, really, really miss.
Now, you didn't think I would leave you without your fun facts, did you? Here are some fun facts about Haiti. Now, did you know that Haiti is the most mountainous country in the Caribbean? Something I can really get down with is the respect that voodoo gets in Haiti. Voodoo is an official recognized religion in Haiti. Watch out. Now, the anthropologist in me wants to tell you that Haiti has surviving cave paintings. Oh yes, all over the country. There are surviving cave paintings from Taino people, and these paintings are now adopted as a national symbol and serve as one of the country's most unique tourist attractions. Now, you may or may not know that French and Creole are the official languages in Haiti. Haiti and Canada are the only countries in the Americas with French as an official language. Additionally, 90% of Haitians speak Creole as their first language, but it only became an official language in 1987. Lastly, Haiti has one of the highest levels of biodiversity in the Caribbean. And that's all for today, folks. Anne-Marie, thank you so much for sharing your language learning experience. I'm pretty sure many non-native English speakers who happen to be in the medical field have experience something similar to you. Merci. See you next time. This show was produced by me, Milo Falcone. A special thanks to my guest, Anne-Marie. And music by Pika Sonic and Zayfall. Stay safe, and until then, see you next time.